Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of The Jay Pitch Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A, in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.
Let me talk to you for a minute about my friend Michael Bush. Mike has spent over 20 plus years with Northwestern Mutual as a financial advisor and manages an office here in Louisville. He's my own personal financial advisor. One reason is that he knows that my investments in real estate and my business are my best investments where I get my best returns. After that, I also invest in the stock market for diversification and tax advantages. Mike and his team have done a great job handling those investments for me. Their team takes a comprehensive look at planning, so he's regularly bringing up ideas that add value and build a more secure plan. Things like protecting my income with disability insurance, protecting my family with life insurance, and ways to get more out of my cash that would otherwise be sitting in a savings account earning nothing. Mike and his team at Northwestern Mutual have been great partners for me and my family, and I encourage you to give him a call. No obligation, just a conversation to see how they can help. Call Michael Bush at 502-727-2758 or email him at michael.bush@nm.com.
We spent the past couple of years in a crazy hot market. Louisville home sales decline as demand outpaces supply. Effective communication is at the core of any situation. If you master these two ideas, you'll have a chance of being successful at residential real estate marketing. I think you need to be looking for investment opportunities that move the needle. The market will never crash if demand exceeds supply. This is what I've been telling you all along.
This is the Jay Pitch Show. And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080. I am your host, Jay Pitts, once again here with fill-in co-host, Mr. Luke Andrews. I dare say, you know, it's kind of like, you know, pinch hitting with an all-star here, Luke. Like, you filled in admirably for Mr. Ryan Harris, who is still on paternity leave. I think he will be back with us very soon. Maybe the next time we sit here and record, Ryan may be back in his normal chair, but Luke is... You know, it's like bringing like a slightly older, more veteran player that's okay. Been an all-star, just like bringing him off the bench to pinch hit in the ninth, man.
Somebody on the decline, on their way out.
I did not say that. You got the big contract still.
Yeah, it's the one that they're talking about on talk radio that everybody regrets. They're asking ownership, why did you do that?
You're in the last, like... 10 years of the Albert Pujols 20-year $240 million deal.
You know, I'm in the last 3 years of that one.
So we're not.
I'm Bobby Bonilla at this point. I'm cashing that check every year.
I'm not ready to put you out to pasture just yet. No, Luke is standing in. He has done very, very well. We hope you enjoy his contribution to the show, and we'll have to have him back. You know, this won't be the last time you hear from him, but. Nevertheless, I think we got a good show for you guys today. We're going to talk a little bit of local news, which is not something we do a ton of here. But, you know, this is a local real estate show, and we are very, very big fans of the city of Louisville and surrounding areas. So we're going to come to you with a little bit of local news. Going to talk mayor's strategic development plan that's just come out, you know, for economics in the city and how to drive the economy locally forward. We're going to talk about a little more salacious real estate tie-in kind of story. I'm not going to get into that just yet. It is a very serious and somber issue, I will say. But you know, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about real estate both nationally and locally. We're going to talk about some luxury real estate and what that means. We may talk a little bit of you know, kind of CEOs weigh in on the state of the real estate market out there. And then we're going to talk about the best business deal that I am aware of
It was insane.
Insanity that hit the news this week. So we're going to talk about all that here on the show today. And we might even wrap up the show in typical fashion with a little bit of entertainment, kind of would you rather pick one from this group kind of scenario, with a little sports take, a little sports spin, which is, I have to say, probably inspired by some local sports events. We'll get to all that today. So without further ado, let's go ahead to from the field. Let's talk a consumer real estate question. I think it is a consumer, not a real estate agent today, right, Luke?
It is a consumer-facing question.
All right, yeah. Fantastic. Let's hear what the consumers want to know, and we'll see if we can answer it for you.
Sure. So in today's competitive market, as a buyer, my agent recommends that I use an escalation clause in my offer. Is this a good idea?
Well, before, this is typically how we round out segment one, which we got a little bit of time here today, but I have no doubt we're going to take this one to the limit today, because that is, as you know, I never know the question before the episode. So it's a curveball right here as I sit in this chair. Escalation clauses are a hot button for me. Luke, you know this. Escalation clauses, I am not a fan of. And had you not been a buyer or seller in real estate over the last 3 years, you probably would not. And many real estate professionals are included in this. People that have lived through, you know, brisk, but markets that we would call normal now.
Sure.
Would not know what an escalation clause is. Now, it's my contention that they're not very valuable. They're needlessly complex and complicated, but let's explain the nuts and bolts. Do you want to do that? You want me to talk about it?
Have at it, brother.
Okay.
This is your show.
Okay. Thank you. It's very kind of you. An escalation clause is I'm going to give this like 300 level. Like, you know, if you're taking courses in college, you know how you start out with the 100 and you end with the 400. This is like 300 level real estate education. It's not perfect. not quite 400, but it's 300. And usually you don't need to go to that complex of a scenario to buy or sell residential real estate.
And if you did, you've probably already lost.
And if you did, you probably already lost out. But the market that we've seen over the last 3 years with really strong demand, you know, at least up until about a year ago, really low rates, really short supply, we've had a lot of competitive bidding situations. It's where, you know, what we call a private treaty sale, a listing that is purchased by a consumer, both typically represented by real estate agents, that typically is not very fast paced, at least historically, has been very fast paced. We have seen the waiver of contingencies, very valid and necessary contingencies like inspections, appraisals, you know, giving post close occupancy to a seller for months. We have seen things like people borrowing money from family instead of banks to present cash offers. We've seen people pay 15, 20% above listing price to secure a property under the current market conditions. And one tool that has been used, or at least suggested to be used, it's been used much more prevalently, but it is suggested almost instantly when from some people that would teach you real estate and how to practice real estate, is the escalation clause. The escalation clause is very simply this. I make my offer. I'm going to pick a number out of the sky. Let's say 100,000. I know that's not where the market is right now, but let's just say 100,000 for simplicity. I will pay you 100,000 with the following terms. But if someone else makes an offer that exceeds mine, then I am going to increase my offer by X number of dollars in excess of whatever the highest offer is, not to exceed a limit that I set forth. So for example, Luke, you're a seller. I'm a buyer. I give you a $100,000 offer with an escalation clause up to a limit of $110,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to increase in increments of $1,000. $1,000 over and above the highest offer, not to exceed $110,000.
So you'll beat any offer that I can bring you by $1,000.
By $1,000, as long as it doesn't go over a total of $110,000.
So somebody else has an offer for $108,000.
Then my offer is $109,000.
Got it.
Okay. Now, there's several flaws that I see with this particular practice. Number one, okay, negotiation needs to be understood that it's about your will. You know, your not just your qualification, but your motivation. And when you make an offer, you express a certain level of motivation. When you make an offer with an escalation clause, you have let the seller know that you are willing to pay the limit.
Sure.
But you only want to pay the original number. I only want to pay the 100, but I'm willing to pay 110 under the right circumstances.
Just so I don't lose it.
Just so I don't lose it. So I don't like giving a seller more information than they require about the stance of my buyer. So I don't like the whole limit thing. And you can't make an escalation without it because you can't leave an open-ended limit.
Sure.
Right? So I find it much preferable to the escalation clause to do more digging, do more research. In most cases, real estate agents and sellers will notify you. They will tell you what they feel, what they're looking for, what you're working with. All you have to do is ask.
Sure.
Some people might think that that's illegal for agents to share. It's not, so long as the client gives you permission. But, you know, I like to build a reputation that precedes me. For listing agents and sellers on the other side to know that if a buyer is working with me, then they must be serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my performance justifies that. So I don't like telling them I'm willing to pay 110. And in fact, when the shoe is on the other foot and I'm the seller's agent and I get that, more than likely, and I guess I'm showing my hand here, and that's fine, you're going to get a counter back.
For
110,000, yeah. Because you already told me that you're willing to do it.
Yeah.
You know, now I may make something in it for you. Hey, we have other offers. You've given us an escalation clause. We really like your offer otherwise. The other offers, if we go back to them, they may increase, but we're willing to take your limit right now. Are you willing? Yes or no?
Put him to the test.
And for these reasons, this wishy-washy, will I or won't I type situation ends up in the hands of a less qualified agent, in the hands of an emotional seller, okay, leads to bad things, right? It leads to dead deals. It leads to your client missing out for needless complexity. That's what it is.
And only to lead to more complexity and future transactions.
In future transactions. So you miss out on that first one, then do you have to do an escalation the next time and the next time and the next time? And when are you going to actually win? So those are the reasons I don't like it, Luke. And, you know, to be honest, I said we were going to take the full time. I think we have. So that's just about all the time we have for it. We can bring it back or just after the break for a little more recap on this escalation clause thing. But that's all the time we got for you here in segment one on the Jay Pitch Show on Talk Radio 1080. We'll see you after the break. Be back real soon. Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
Real news, real talk. Talk Radio 1080.
All right, we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. We ended segment one kind of in a flurry, finishing the talk about escalation clauses. As you can tell, I told you, I warned you, Luke, when you asked the question, I get really passionate about this stuff. So let me
you
ask
get you passionate this. About a lot, though. So
I do.
To be fair,
it's fair, 100%. Okay, so before we move on, let's put a bow on this. What do you have? Do you have something to add? Do you have any questions? Do you what? Do you have any disagreements with me? Because I'm just not a fan.
No disagreements whatsoever. But we are seeing an influx of these escalation clauses in the market. So is this a... We're also seeing an influx of new agents into the market.
True.
Is this a result of that?
It's a lot of sheep mentality, right?
Sure.
Like, this is what you're supposed to do to win. And you think that just because there was a training class at your office and they've got a special form that you get to fill out. Unfortunately, it's an epidemic and always has been in residential real estate that we are not people that understand the law. We're people that are good at filling in the blanks in a legal document. And the consequences of our actions are not always fully understood by most real estate professionals. And I just think, personally, if you're one of the best, you see an escalation clause as an opportunity to exceed expectations for your client. And not by using them, by unfortunately manipulating their weaknesses.
Yeah. Well, you used the term there, real estate professional. So that's probably the difference between an agent and a professional.
Ooh, great distinction there. That's a difference between a realtor and a realtor. Sorry, I'm gonna go on a tangent here. All right, let's move on.
Pet peeve city.
This is pet peeve city. That one's. You know what, Hannah? While I'm thinking about it, just so everybody can crawl inside my brain real quick, this needs to be one of our new funny short form videos. Realtor versus realtor. We need to do that. All right, let's move on. I said we were going to talk about some local news today, and I wasn't kidding about that. So first, let's talk about the story that broke last week out of Highview, you know, one of our beloved, you know, Louisville second class city / neighborhoods. I don't know what you're going to call them.
Love Highview.
Very affordable real estate in Highview, mm-hmm. Centrally located, easy access to a lot of things. It's one of Louisville's great neighborhoods. So with that, and this particular street I'm aware of, let's not say the street. It's very easy. You can go to WDRB.com and find it. Find an article or any of the local news sites and find it.
I've sold at least 3 homes on that street. So if anybody is searching, that's the easiest way to find it.
Is find Luke Andrews and his sales history. That's right. Okay. So we've sold a lot. We've managed real estate over there. It's a good mix between owners and renting type community. Very balanced, right? So it broke the other day that there's a home in Highview that has been discovered and neighbors have been put on notice where, quote, officials found more than 20 dangerous chemicals after the owner had been arrested. A demolition order was later filed by the city that lays out a dangerous situation and says that the home and the adjacent garage are both known to, quote, have explosives, explosive fumes or vapors, and is the presence of toxic fume gases or material in large quantities that presents a, quote, imminent danger. And
so the dude's making bombs.
Well, I don't know who it is. I don't know if anybody's lived there. I know that there is a bit of a hoarder situation because the original way to deal with this was with robots, with drone robots, and disarm and diffuse and try to eliminate hazards. Unfortunately, the house is so cluttered that they're unable to do it that way. So what I'm told now and what you read in this article is that they're going to perform a controlled burn of the residence, a controlled burn, which the neighbors will be notified and they will burn the property to the ground to diffuse of the chemicals that are there. Now, what, I don't know what environmental concerns, what explosions, what things.
That's my concern. And my question is, we talk about explosives being in here, but all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, let's just set them on fire and see what happens. Yeah. Now, look, there are people way smarter than me making these decisions and who are making these recommendations, but it just seems, hey, we've got this explosive material. Setting it on fire is the last thing that comes to my mind.
So some further research has been done into the owner. Okay. So according to this article, the owner, a former chemist, has previously in his work had numerous roles overseeing the safe handling, transport, and disposal of potentially volatile chemicals. The public defender handling his defense has made that argument in hopes of allaying kind of the fears of the neighbors and people. But anyway, you slice it, this person is no longer managing any sort of care for these chemicals because right. they're in custody at this moment. You know, the motion also by the public defense is attempting to block the unnecessary destruction of all of this person's belongings, including the materials that are housed inside the home. The defense is presented documentation, certification, training materials, and other things providing proof of the occupant and owner's extensive knowledge and experience, quote unquote.
Is this Walter White living in here?
I mean, it sounds a lot similar to a Walter White scenario. I don't know. There's been a lot of fear between the neighbors.
I can imagine. I mean,
can you imagine your children playing, you know, on the sidewalk in front of this house and that something explodes? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm all for, you know, civil liberty and being able to do what you want within your own home. But everything has limits, right? You can't just keep dangerous chemicals in a house that is unkept and you're not present. I mean,
you can't tell me that you're handling them with care if it is otherwise a hoarder situation.
Well, and this,
right? it's like, why is this the only thing that you're taking care of?
This comes on the heels of another story a few weeks ago. I don't know if you see the Bully County gentleman that had human skulls and remains in the privacy of their own home. And I think that person is defending themselves as well with claiming that it was just pure decoration. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm kind of like some of these neighbors quoted in here. You just never know who's living next door to you. That's kind of where I come out on this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for, like you said, civil liberties and kind of doing what you want in your own home. But at a certain point, you do have to draw a line.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's move on. Let's get to a little bit more serious local news here. Luke, have you read about the fact that the new mayor, Craig Greenberg, basically announced a new strategic development plan for Louisville? So he had a press conference. He was out there at the Angels Envy Club, at the new, used to be Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, no longer. It's the L&N Stadium. They purchased recently the naming rights to the stadium. I still can't. I'm driving in here today, and I can't get used to it. Just looking up and seeing the L&N. L&N's a great place.
Well, I'll never say Kroger Field.
Kroger Field. It's just Commonwealth Stadium, right?
It's Commonwealth Stadium.
All right. And by the way, guys, just so you know, full disclosure here, Ryan and I are both U of L fans. Unfortunately, we've invited a UK fan to sit in today. So Luke is... You know, of course, that reference would come up. We talk about our local news. He has to bring up Kroger Field, which is, you know,
I'd like to have a touch of just winning, like, just sitting here in the chairs.
660 miles away. Hey, Luke, all we do is win around here. That's all I'm saying. The mayor, you know, basically brought in some consultants. He brought in a couple of Indiana-based companies. He, essentially laid out a plan to drive the local economy forward. I thought what was interesting in this article is that they state that the Louisville Jefferson County metropolitan statistical area population only grew 6% over the last 10-year period, which to me didn't sound like a small number. A 6% population growth over 10 years seemed okay to me. It notices some strengths and some weaknesses probably that we have here locally. You know, strengths being park system, access to higher education, medical innovation, you know, lots of study and research that goes on around here.
Do we know how far out they're considering the MSA or metro statistical area?
The way this reads to me is it's only Jefferson County. So it does not include Mount Washington. It does not include Shepherdsville. It does not include
the 6%. I mean, it's not growing as much, but there's been a lot of sprawl.
I think there has been a ton of sprawl. I think, you know, the state itself has seen a lot of economic development. Population growth is a thing. There's a lot of major metros nationwide that are retracting in population, mm-hmm. a lot of markets. I don't think we can compare Louisville to places like Chicago, New York, Atlanta, you know, LA. We're more
Indy, Chattanooga, Birmingham.
Honestly, I think Indy's probably a little big for comparison. I think Cincinnati certainly is.
Definitely.
But Chattanooga is a great comparison. I think, you know, probably
Huntsville,
Columbus, Ohio, Huntsville, Alabama, you know, places like that, even maybe even like in Oklahoma City, we could compare ourselves to. St. Louis is too big. Nashville, not even close. We you know, should no longer lament falling behind the likes of Cincinnati, Indiana, and Indianapolis and Nashville. They're just on another level.
Yeah.
So for that, I mean, I kind of think what I enjoy, okay, is the fact that there is a strategic plan. Most of this I know is you know, you drive for show and you putt for dough, right? Like if to use a golf reference, this is what they hope. This is a wish list, right? You know, there's not only that, there's not a lot of specificity.
Yeah.
Okay. Presented just yet. It's basically the mayor talking and saying, hey, I have a plan and this is what I want to do. Here are our strengths and here are our weaknesses. You know, I also, you know, think that, you know, a story like this gets very, very put on the back burner when you have things like, you know, busing issues, right, with children not getting home from public schools until 9 p.m. at night. You know, that's a kind of a scenario that we're dealing with also right now. So, frankly, I just don't know. I don't know how much emphasis I can even place on this type of article right now.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right, folks, with that, we're going to move on to some national news, some real estate stuff, and that's all the time we got for you here in segment two. So we appreciate you tuning in right here to the Jay Pitch Show on Talk Radio 1080. We'll see you soon. Hey, listen up. Do you own a car, truck, or boat? Do you own a business? Do you own or rent a home? If so, let's face it, you need to protect these assets from damage caused by accidents. For that, you need a friend in the insurance business. Let my friend John Blackford with Kentucky Farm Bureau protect you. Like many of you listening, Jen and I have worked hard to build our businesses over the years. John has delivered on his promise to protect us when we've needed it the most. We've experienced losses as small as a crack in our windshield or as big as a catastrophic property fire. While he has two decades of experience, Kentucky Farm Bureau has over a century of operational excellence all across the state. Every year, insurance companies move in and out of Kentucky, but Farm Bureau has proven to be a constant. John and Kentucky Farm Bureau have perfected the balance of providing service and coverage at competitive rates. Listen, we've all worked hard, and loss or damage is inevitable. This is why we all need a friend in the insurance industry. John Blackford has been that genuine friend to me for years. Let John Blackford be that friend to you. Call him today at 502-327-5480 for advice on all your insurance needs.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
Thanks for listening to Real News, Real Talk, Talk Radio 1080.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitch Show. Right here on Talk Radio 1080. We talked a little local news in the last segment, Mayor's strategic plan. Unfortunately, we did touch. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. I promised my wife I wouldn't talk about it too much. The Jefferson County busing situation on the first week of school. Hopefully when you hear this, that issue will be remedied. We're recording this episode just a little bit early, so it's a little more fresh in the mind. But, you know, we also talked about the Highview explosives. That may be resolved fairly soon as well. But let's get on to some national stuff. Okay, so I'm going to talk about an article here. And actually, I could have pulled a number of articles because this is like, you know, there's a few players in like economics in real estate that when they come out and make a statement, it gets picked up by most of the national financial news, right?
Sure.
So, you know, this one is Lawrence Yun. Do you know who Lawrence Yun is? Look off the top of your head. He's the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors. And he was quoted this past week as saying, quote, the housing recession is over. which I thought is kind of a stunning quote, right? Like, he's got to know what he's doing there.
Which is crazy, because you've been saying the market's going to crash for a long time, right?
I've never said the market was going to crash. I've always said that it's not.
You are very famously, the market is not crashing.
Yeah.
And I love it.
As loud.
I'm right there with you.
As loud and as vehement as I can say it, and as almost as often as I can say it. So, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of these people are headline makers. This particular article is just one of several. And you know, it's not so much the content of the article. This is from Bigger Pockets. I saw another one by Riz Media. I saw another one by another industry publication. Basically, they go on to quote in this article, like every other article about it, that home prices have increased steadily month over month since February. In fact, the home prices went up 4% between February and May alone, according to CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index. That's the most famous housing values report index that gets reported on. Basically, while today's numbers are slightly below 1 year ago numbers, the continued uptrend has continued and has many people wondering, has the downturn passed us by already? And the truth is, I don't know that there ever was a downturn.
I was really going to say, it passed us by. Where was it?
The thing that I don't understand, and the thing that really, really frustrates me about this kind of talk, is it's so relative to the moment. You want to compare now to the highest of heights that we've ever seen. Like, this is a market. Markets move upward and downward. Markets stay flat. They plateau. They spike and settle. There's all sorts of ways that a market can behave. But one thing a market never does is reach a peak and then continue to rise forever. Right?
It goes up, it goes down, it goes back up again.
Call it a correction. Call it whatever you want. Okay. But a recession, it is not. Right? We had, in my estimation, just from our local performance, you had sales probably peak in July of 22, okay? Mm-hmm. We saw moderate dips consistently in August, September, October, November, December, January, right? And then rates dropped a little, and the normal seasonality hit, which you had the underlying demand that was always there. Right?
Sure. And people it's all pent up.
We had pent up from 6 months of slight declines from peak, not from average, not from mean, not from median.
This is historically high.
Historic highs. You saw mild correction from historic highs. And then you had 6 months, 7 months of pent up demand that was unleashed under normal seasonality. And you saw prices start to run again with rates twice as high as they were under peak sales.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you have increased sales numbers from February, March, April, May, June, July. Right? And when you act like this, when you watch the market this closely, and I blame 24-hour news cycle and, you know, connected society, right? Everybody thirsting and craving information at all times.
Well, and it's all subjective. It's 100% subjective. It's very subjective. And these people, they need clicks. Yeah. And so you have to manipulate a headline any way you can, manipulate statistics or data any way that you can, just to get somebody to read you versus somebody else.
The thing that I do appreciate, I guess, is to me, there's very little harm in excessive positivity, right?
Right.
But there is real harm in excessive negativity. And, you know, Lawrence Yun, which I've actually been a fairly, you know, staunch fan of over the last few years, goes on to say, I quote, "The recovery has not taken place, but the housing recession is over." So he restates it. The recovery has not taken place. So what are we recovering from? We're 5% off peak and we need a recovery all of a sudden? This is not the Great Depression.
No.
We don't need the New Deal to get us back to work. Like, there is so much loose cash in the market right now. There is so much demand. There is so much need for new supply. Commodity prices are up because of inflation, but they're down from peaks. Like, there's so much underlying positivity, which is the basis for me always saying that the market's not crashing, right? There's so much basis for positivity. I appreciate the headline grab here instead of the markets crashing, instead of manipulating the statistics, instead of, you know, an article that I commented on recently that said office, commercial office real estate is going to drop 35% in value before any sort of stimulus. Garbage.
Yeah.
Right? Survive until 25, like doom and gloom kind of crowd, right? I don't get it. I never will. I do appreciate Yoon, but I think he fell a little subject to a little ego play kind of, you know, headline grab here.
So you're saying we don't need to buckle up and grab a helmet? We can...
I don't think so. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying the economy is on the precipice of an actual recession. You know, I think technically speaking, we were in a recession 6 months ago.
It feels like I've been hearing that for the last,
well, it's
6 years.
To my understanding, the technical definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth.
Yep.
Oh, GDP retraction 6 months consecutive is a recession. We did that in 2022,
mm-hmm.
right? We started in Q2 of 22. By the end of Q3 of 2022, we had 2 months of GDP retraction, or two consecutive quarters of GDP retraction. What's happened since? I've sold a lot of real estate since.
A whole lot.
You know, we're having as good a year as we had last year, mm-hmm. right? We've had numerous team members, you know, 3, 4, 5 year veterans of the business that have had phenomenal starts to their careers, branch out on their own and leave the team. And we don't have their production under our wing anymore, but we're still ahead.
Yeah.
We're still ahead of 2022 with rates significantly higher. I don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, trust me, there will come a day when there's something to be worried about.
Sure.
And I've been through that. I started my career in it, right? 2008, 2009 was awful for real estate. We made it work, right? And here we stand. But like,
that was buckle up, grab your helmet.
That was put on a helmet because like the sky above Wall Street is falling and it's going to pull the rest of us down with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so anyway, that's, you know, I hit my quota for the market is not crashing articles to discuss this week. So let's move on. And let's talk about some luxury real estate, Luke. So I came across this article and I found it interesting. What are the 13 essential homes of a 13 essential features of a luxury home? Now, before you pull the article up and you tell yourself the answer, mm-hmm. I'd like some guesses.
13 essential features of a luxury
13 home. Essential features of a luxury home. And we got 4 minutes left in the segment, or 2 minutes, excuse me, left of the segment. Let's see what we can do here.
So I'm going to start with water feature.
Water feature. Okay. So it's
a pool, pond.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Pool. Definitely on the list. All right. Go ahead.
High-end stone surfaces.
High-end stone surfaces is slightly more specific, but ultra high-end finishes. Emphasis on organic materials, natural finishes. So there's your stone.
Okay.
All right. Unique high-end finishes. Okay. That's two. See if you can give me two more.
Tons of windows.
Tons of windows. Let's see. Natural light. Tons of natural light. Okay. I'm going to give you that one though. So we're 3 for 3. See if you can get one more.
4 plus car garage.
A 4 plus car garage. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it, but I'm with you. Four plus car garage.
Three out of four, I'll take.
3 out of 4 ain't bad. You know, okay, so we're going to go dedicated guest quarters, massive walk-in closets, grand master bedroom, primary suite, fully equipped home office, home theater, wine cellar, gourmet kitchen, smart home tech, spa-equipped bathrooms, and outdoor living space are the remaining ones. So... Pretty good, man. I'm gonna give you 4 out of 4.
It feels like now that you go through that list, I should have knocked them all off pretty quick.
That's all good. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for you here in segment 3. Appreciate you tuning in. After a few sponsors, we will be back to wrap the show. I am Jay Pitts, host of the Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080.
Hey.
Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of The Jay Pitch Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A, in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.
You're listening to Real News, Real Talk, Talk Radio 1080.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitch Show. This is segment four. We're going to get a little fun right here on Talk Radio 1080. So, Luke, let's talk about the best business deal in the history of business deals.
I think I know where this is going based upon seeing the most recent news, but this is insane.
Okay, all right. So give me a guess. Who's the one person that could pull this off?
I mean, this has got to be the Barstool.
It's got to be Dave Portnoy, right? Okay, so we're gonna do this. I would have been clever if I would have done a one bite. You know the rules, one bite kind of reference here, and rate the deal. You know, like the way he rates pizza. Oh, yeah. So get this. Barstool, Dave Portnoy, owner and founder of Barstool Sports, right? They do unorthodox sports content, homegrown, social media friendly. He's a bit of a lightning rod because he says what he wants. He got some notoriety during COVID for making some claims and things, you know, sharing some unpopular opinions in a brash kind of way. I mean, he's your typical New England businessman with, you know, all the bravado that comes along with it, right? That hard charging kind of New England kind of attitude. I think he's a Boston sports guy. He's a big fan of the Patriots. You know, he makes all that very, very well known. So anyway, Portnoy buys back Barstool Sports for $1 from Penn Entertainment while they spend $1.5 billion on an ESPN partnership that is being called the White Whale of sports betting deals.
And that's billion with a B.
With a B. So
capital B.
So Penn spends $1.5 billion to get into a partnership with ESPN, which is Disney, Disney-backed ESPN. So it's kind of the deals or the details surrounding this deal are quite interesting, right? So apparently Portnoy started negotiating with Penn Media, Penn Entertainment, Penn Media, that they're a sports gambling operation, right? So most states in the United States have legalized sports gambling by this point, you know, Kentucky being one of them as well, recently done. So Penn was a pioneer in that front, right? And Dave took his kind of brash, you know, kind of lead from the front, like small media company, you know, talking about some interesting sports stuff. And he basically allied it with Penn and he sold the company to them. I think it was like $600 million he sold it for. He penciled that deal and I think it closed sometime in 2021. Here we are, less than 3 years later. Basically, Disney approaches Penn for this partnership, right? Which we all know the size of ESPN, the power of ESPN and Disney. And
I think I've heard of
it. It's the white whale of deals for Penn. The one caveat is they have to sever their relationship with Barstool. So Penn goes back to Portnoy. Okay, who's probably still under, you know, like an earnout on his contract. You got to be, you're the face of Barstool. You got to stay here and work for 5 years or whatever. And they agree to sell him back the business for $1. He sold it to them for $600 million. When he sold it, he did not have 100% control. I'm curious to know what his partners think about this. His backers, his financial backers in the original Barstool that got paid on the $600 million deal, but didn't get a chance at the $1 buyback. Yeah. Now, the caveat on this
everybody's
deal...
Everybody's bringing a quarter to the table.
Yeah, everybody brings 10 cents to the table, and you get to get back in on this amazing business deal. Well, beyond that, okay, beyond that, I will say that the caveat to him getting back 100% control of his business is that if he ever sells it, he has to split the proceeds 50-50 with Penn. I don't know if you saw that, but
I did not see that piece of it.
But he released his, you know, in his typical style, right? Grainy iPhone video uploaded directly to Twitter. He announced yesterday, he goes, "I will never sell Barstool. I will die here, and I will leave this to my children." He said, "And if I don't have children, because I don't think he has kids yet, if I don't have children, I will pick one of my best employees and I will leave it to them and their children." Right, because he's
under
not,
the condition that they don't ever
sell it, because then they have to give half the money back to Penn. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know anybody else that sold the company for $600 million and bought it back for a dollar. Not only that, bought back more interest in that company.
It's outrageous. I've never seen a deal like this.
It's mind bending. I can't imagine it's worth less with. I can't imagine it's. That Penn, that I think Disney's making a huge mistake, right?
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, I think it's somewhat political, but I can't imagine Penn being worth less without Barstool.
No, and then now all of a sudden it's just all of the news that's going on right now. Can you imagine the number of hits that Barstool's getting at the moment? I mean,
they're incredible.
It's climbing like crazy.
I guarantee it is. And what he'll probably do is go cut another deal. There's probably a carve out that he can't cut another deal with a.
I'd be interested to see what the Twitter followers have jumped in the last 48 hours.
Dude, I mean, he's a force anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. He is an absolute force. He draws eyeballs and attention. I don't know if you see this, but he runs a podcast with a couple of TikTok influencers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this.
Yep.
And those clips go viral on the regular. And it's like he's my age. Right. He's our age. And he's sitting around talking to 21-year-olds about like this social media pop culture, these influencers talking about who they're dating and what their relationships are like. I mean, it's hilarious to me.
It's like, how did this become a real job?
Did you know the guy played college baseball? Apparently was a very good baseball player.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I mean, he's small in stature, but apparently was a really, really good ball player. So
you're saying there's hope for me?
Is that
why you did
you're,
that?
You're on the last 3 years of your deal.
That's true.
We've established that's this true. Already. All right, so let's move on. We're going to finish in a flurry. And I said earlier that this was probably inspired by some recent sports events. I can only imagine. But this comes from an account on Twitter, Dylan_Dethier. D-E-T-H-I-E-R, trying to get it right. Dylan_Dethier on Twitter or X, what have you. And he asked the question, if you're randomly dropped into a pro sporting event with your entire country's hopes and dreams on the line, what would you most want to attempt? Okay, now obviously this is a nod to the World Cup. Women's World Cup.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if I get in trouble for calling it a debacle. It was kind of a debacle. You know, from this past weekend, unfortunately, they lost in PKs. I won't say any more about that. But would you want to attempt a free throw? Right. So 15-foot feet set jump, you know, shot on the basketball goal. A penalty kick, just like the World Cup PKs. A 25-yard field goal. Okay. So that's from the 15-yard line.
Yep.
Because the end zone's 10 yards. Or a 6-foot putt in golf. So this was sent to me, I have to give credit, to Mr. Scott Radcliffe, former wide receiver at the University of Louisville, yep. Who's an agent with us.
Sure hands Radcliffe.
Sure
hands Scotty.
89. Number 89 from Trinity. You know, local guy who walked on at U of L and ended up being a part of their Sugar Bowl team. So anyway, Scott tells me, you know, he would pick what he would pick, what he thinks he would pick. He sent it to a group of guys.
Okay.
And I get all of theirs and I know right away where I'm going, right away. But I want to hear where you're going first.
So let me ask a clarifying question. The 25-yard field goal, is that like game situation, defense is rushing?
With a snap?
Yeah, with a snap, defense is rushing? Or is it just like, well, this is like a halftime kick, a 25-yard field goal?
You're in the pro sporting event, so this is in a game. Okay. So if you're shooting free throws, the guys are lined up on the lane. If you're kicking the field goal, it's a snap and a hold and a kick. Presume the snap and the hold are good.
Okay.
6-foot putt, it's for a television audience.
Okay.
And the PKs, it's the crowd's roaring just like it was.
And I've got a World Cup goalie on the other side.
And you got a World Cup goalie on the other end.
All right. Well, PK is out. 25-yard field goal is out. Because that's I can hit a 25. I've hit a 50, that's fine, but it is low and like a missile. One of those big uglies down there puts his arm up, it's gone.
Yeah.
So that leaves me with a free throw or a 6-foot putt.
Yeah.
My initial thought when I saw that, because I saw this yesterday as well, was go with the putt.
I'm a pretty good putter. I'm even going
to
tell you the putt's relatively straight. You ought to make
it. Okay.
Like, it's not a bender. It's not a crazy one. You're not. It's not U.S. Open greens and... You know, it's got like, 40 degrees of break on it. Like,
I'll take the 6-foot putt because it's also too, if I miss a 6-foot putt, it's not going to be as noticeable as if I airball a free throw in front of a national audience.
All right. Here's my answer. I'm taking the PK.
I'm
taking the PK because here's the thing. You just got to give it some pace, man. There's nobody in front of you except the goalie. The goalie's got to pick.
He does have to pick. That's something I know a little bit about.
They got to pick. You played goalie back in the day. Yeah. I'm telling you, you're going to pick and dive, and nobody's got a scouting report on me. Yeah. And what's the distance? I mean, it doesn't look like far. 10 yards, maybe 30 feet.
About 9 yards.
27 feet, right?
But you still got to get it within that box.
Oh, dude, I'm getting it within the box.
Okay.
I'm getting it within the box. I'm not going high. I'm going low and I'm going hard and I'm picking a side and I'm just going. They're going to get a 50-50 shot and they're going to have to guess because I'm going to put it in the back of the net and put it back in the net hard.
See, the only thing with the PK and the field goal is you've got a defense out there. You know,
that's right.
A putt.
That's why
there's no defense.
That's why I'm not
free throw.
I'm not kicking the field goal. And that's the thing. You got a perfectly good excuse if you lose. They just made a good save. Like, if you blow a 6-foot putt, it's all on you, bro. It's all on you. Nah. Anyway, and I'm not a very good golfer anyway, so I'm not going
to. Well, I'm not either, but I'm a decent putter.
No, I got you. All right, so that's all the time we got for you today, folks. We really appreciate you tuning in. Like I said, I think regular co-host Mr. Ryan Harris will be back for the next episode, but we'd like to say thank you to Luke, and you're welcome anytime, even if you are in the last year of your contract. But once again, we're going to hit it. This is the Jay Pitch Show here on Talk Radio 1080. We'll see you next week. Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.